So I thought we'd just finish a little bit with the Chizuk, the Jerusalem, the Sarets. So we've been speaking a lot about Teshuva, about Yeshiva. So much of the mitzvah is governed by those words of Yeshiva. So the Gemara has a fascinating discussion here in the third parak of the Sefer Megillah about the word Yeshiva in a different context of Har Sinai. Gemara raises the question, what physical position was Moshe Rabbeinu in when Baruch spoke to him in Har Sinai? So one pasuk says, Vanochi Amadati Bahar, says he was standing on the mountain. Another place says, Ba'esha Bahar, he was sitting on the mountain. So the Gemara says, my high, was he standing, was he sitting? The Gemara has a few interpretations. One interpretation the Gemara says is that in Yeshiva Alosh Na'akofa, that Yeshiva doesn't mean literally sitting. Yeshiva means to dwell, it means to be there. That's what a lot of twice the time against the Rambam. The Rambam says that when you come to the sukkah, so you shouldn't make you shouldn't sit down before you make a leisha b'sukkah. The Rambam says you should make a leisha b'sukkah first and then sit down in your chair. So the Rosh says, well, what does that do anything? So the sitting on the chair, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is dira, the mitzvah is living in the sukkah. So you can make a leisha b'sukkah right before you start to eat, before you involve yourself in the mitzvah dira. Rishonim ask Gash, if you only come to sukkah to sleep, should you make a leisha b'sukkah? So some Rishonim say that you can't make a leisha b'sukkah because maybe you won't fall asleep. You won't fall asleep if you're a bachal matal. So different reasons why I'm meaning is that we don't make a leisha b'sukkah and just sleeping alone. But the Rambam said that you should never sit down in the sukkah before you make a bracha. That's what the Rambam says, that even if you follow the practice of sitting down for Kiddush on a regular Friday night, you shouldn't sit down for Kiddush on Sukkah's night. Right. You shouldn't start the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't kick in if you actually sit down. So that's the Chiddush that Rambam, because the Gemara seems to say in the Gemara that the word Teshuva doesn't really mean that. But one day in the Gemara, the word Teshuva does actually mean sitting. So the Gemara says, Abba Zoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting. Was he sitting? Was he standing? Was he standing? Was he sitting? Which one was it? So the Gemara gives different answers. The Gemara says that when the sukkahs were harder, so that he was able to sit down because he didn't want Yeshiva Das, when the sukkahs were easier. And again, there's a lot of different answers. So there's one answer that's a very startling answer that the Gemara says, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sitting, he wasn't standing, he was like bent, like he was like somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between, so standing and sitting, which is a very strange idea. But Moshe Rabbeinu had for 40 days, he had to position himself like in a half-baked diagonal position or something. What is the significance of that? So a little bit more Derech HaDrush, but I think coming off the day of Yom Kippur, entering into the realm of Sukkot, I think perhaps it's in Yom Diyan here as well, that if we think about it, so the Harav Elf Abdullah, so the position of a catcher, right? So we all know the catchers have a big problem. What's the biggest problem? Their knees. I mean, eventually, their knees always get messed up. Why? If you sit in a zap position, like a catcher stance, for hours on end every day practicing and playing. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create your knees to be in such a position. Your knees are supposed to be straight. So obviously, after X amount of time, you're going to ruin your knees. So why is it that a catcher sits like that? I'm wondering, it would be so much better. Give him a nice chair. A couple of them sit like a man. Eventually, probably, I think they're going to change the rules enough, like all the other kulas that they have in the game, to make the game easier, so they can have rachmanis on the catcher too lazy to catch a stance. But my eye, why is it that the catcher is like that? Who knows why? Why does the catcher sit in such a mother position? Why does he sit down on the floor? They can't hold the strikes on him. Or no? Because he has to be able to jump to standing position at moment's notice. You got to throw out a guy at second base. He'll be sitting on a nice comfortable armchair by the time he gets up. So the position, he won't even act it out. I don't know if you guys can zoom on, see? But if we get down here, this is about as close as the curve as I... every year I get a little older by curve. But I go like this. So the minute, you see the guy jumping, you're immediately into position to throw. So... because of that chashash, the guy's got to ruin his knees for his whole lifetime. For that 1 second. So the point is that you can have a position, the guy's just not sitting, he's not standing, he's squatting somewhere in the middle. So how that's the Gemara says something like that about Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is that significant? So the Chora, the imagery of that is as follows, that there are really almost like two positions that we're in terms of Kabbalah Satara. That sometimes we're standing, when we're standing, so our head is very, very close to Shemayim. So sometimes, the time for us to turn around, Shemayim was like, for example, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was mamish, like, we were in different, everybody realized that it was not the same. And then we're in a different plane on Yom Kippur. Sometimes there are moments like that. Like we're in the middle of a sugya, you know, we're in Naska de Riyadra, we're in the middle of what are we learning to
see?
But the middle 60, right? You know, you're in these kind of, you know, you just lose sense of it. You're like Mufka from Little House at this point. You know, you just could sit and just orangutan. So sometimes in life we're like that. The other times in this world we're down the ground, nitty gritty. You know, we got all kind of stuff we got to take care of. We got to get this tier, we got to get that tier. It's after 3 o'clock. You know, whatever it is, you know. You know, it's different, you know, different things that sometimes, you know, connect us to the Aretz. So here's a Gebalat Bichab, that the Torah says you can never sit on the floor. Because if you sit on the floor, when the moment comes to jump up, you're not going to throw the guy in a second. You have to always be in the position that you can jump up to Shema at a moment's notice. You have to be able to go in 1 second. You finish your class, you finish your job, you finish whatever you do. You finish night, you start, yeah, you have to leave. Whatever was left behind on the floor, stays on the floor. You have to jump up and be ready to throw that guy out. You gotta be ready to start that singing. Life, you cannot be complacent. You gotta be just, you know, I'm sitting back in my armchair and relaxing. I'm sitting down on the ground. And when Hakadosh Baruch Hu calls me, I'll stretch myself and try to, because you try to get it from falling current. That's no good. So you have to live your life as a catcher. Even when you're Ba'aretz, you have to be able to jump up moments known as to be able to enter into the realm of Shanai. So maybe that was the message that was given to us. Perhaps that message is really, really apropos when it comes to the Yom Tov Sukkos, because whereas on Yom Kippur, it's up Yom Derayim, so we were mamish, we were all standing, and literally, in Shorachim, right, supposed to stand. The central of us was to stand and approach the Rishayim was to the entire day. So we end up standing by default 99% of the day. But some Rishayim even stood for Pesach and Zimran, because it's bad, and they just stood there and Mamash like Malachim. So when they're literally figuratively on the Yom Neran, we're Mamash like Malachim. So we're totally a Mufka from Eben Haza, and we're Kippur Zichar, we're Mufka from Haza, we're totally in the Eben Masadim. Now, the Torah gives us a mitzvah of Yeshiva Masoka. So now it gets a little bit tricky. So one would think, okay, now it's time, you know, we just harvested all our crops, and it's time to enjoy the bounty of this world, and you know, let's press away and enjoy something of Hazeh. So the Torah says that not so fast, not so partial. That yes, Pesukah Tishrei Shavuos Yom, it's true that you sit, no nuchum, you don't have to crouch the entire Sukkah this week, it's down your chair, but you're sitting on your chair, but your eyes are up to the Tzchach. And if you can't see the Tzchach, that's the mission of days, so the world of Baruch Avraham is no good. If all you can see, if your whole vantage point is just Adam Hazeh, and you can't see up to Shemayim, then you miss the boat of Sukkos. So Sukkos, we're not standing like Malachim anymore, we're showing you the Kibbutz, that's over already for this Tkufa. Now we're balancing act between the Amidah, the Amirayim, and the Yeshiva of this world, and we're Shaykhim somewhere in the middle, ready to jump to the moment to know. So I can rock you with the Atmish Maya to fulfill the mitzvah of the superstition of Yom, both in terms of Allah, in terms of myself, in terms of Ashkar Sakayim, and we should hopefully recharge our batteries a little bit of the next week plus, and then Mitzvah Shem come back bright and early for the next day of first day of Asman, whatever that is. Okay, good. Good. A good Yom Tov. Good job, everybody. Good job.